from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily.
Yeah, I like to have a party, man, but I tell you what, there's over 1,000 guys in the NFL right now that it's the worst day of their life, man. They're getting cut. Now, on the other side of that, there are about 69 fellas on each team that are making it, and they're throwing a hell of a party. This is a hell of a time to have one of those 69er parties, man.
Woo-hoo! That's not bad.
One of 69, boys. Let's get it, man. Let's get it. So, it's a rough day. Wait.
Sorry to interrupt you there, Dirty Red.
Well, hell, just take the damn reins in. This ain't my segment or nothing. Just take the damn reins. This better be good. What do we celebrate?
Dirty's Daily. We got a lot of important football stuff to get into, like you just laid out with Casario trimming the Texans roster down to 53. But we have baseball news here.
69, Tyler.
69. I'm sorry. You're right. How could I forget that? God. But we have some baseball Astros news here. I just had to let y'all know. This is coming from Chandler Rome. Manager of the Astros, Joe Espada, wait for it, boys. You won't believe this. Outfielder Kyle Tucker has started to sprint.
He's sprinting. The king is sprinting.
King Tuck ain't
the king is sprinting. I didn't know. There was about one.
Holy hell.
There wasn't but one or two things that we'd be playing celebration music for. Big Tuck sprinting is one of them, Ron.
Holy crap. Yeah. I didn't
Are
expect
you ready
this
to celebrate?
Big news on
he's
a Tuesday.
He's close to running base.
King Tuck is sprinting, Ron. Quit pissing on it, Ron. He's sprinting, man.
Don't put this on me. They've pissed on it.
No, you're pissing on it.
No, I'm not.
They're not out there trying to get Hayward. Dude, he's sprinting.
I mean, why would you do that right away? I mean, you don't join the celebration.
Espada said he's close to running bases.
Yeah, well, obviously, he's sprinting. He's sprinting, Ron.
That's what you do around the bases. You sprint.
You have become a buzzkill.
I don't believe anything they say with Kyle Tucker. I know.
Look on your little Twitter machine. I'm sure there's videos of him running out there.
I will celebrate thoroughly with you as soon as he hits the diamond.
I wonder if they got him doing like the shuttle run.
Tyler, you should have known.
I'm not here. Hey, you do your celebration. You want
this? This is a negative day. This is a dark cloud day, and we ruined it for Ron playing celebration.
The Kyle Tucker thing. I will have excitement when I hear or see him on the field.
Boy, Tyler, I tell you what, man.
Well, disregard. Not a big deal.
It's going to be a long season with old Debbie Downer over here.
It's not.
I thought that was wild.
Most of it is an important step to his recovery. Espada said he's close to running the bases, but unclear when he will do so.
Tyler, I'm not going to let him do it. I'm not going to let him bring me down.
This is huge.
I mean,
I think it's
a reason to celebrate. He is sprinting, boys and girls.
The King's Court rejoices.
Yes, the King is sprinting.
But my apologies. Let's get back to this important Texans news.
You don't apologize for nothing. Old Debbie Downer ass over here.
All right, man.
Now let's get back talking about this sad news, Ron, because I know this is where you feel right at home. I know you like this.
Is that my boy, Ron?
Yes, it is, Ron.
Like sprint, baby. Get in here. Who's out?
It's cut day in the NFL, man. This is the day as a player you show up and you just hope like hell they ain't looking for you. You don't make eye contact with the Turk. You just keep on walking. You sit at your locker. You just hope like hell they don't walk your direction. And when they do, boys, it's just time to man up. I survived three of them. The fourth one got me. The fifth one got me. I'm going to tell you, I'm still a little bitter about it. I felt like I was a little closer to the organization in Dallas than most guys with the Arkansas ties. And the old Turk, Ron, was funny looking old fella.
Is this before Bill Parcells was just an ass to you and just –
No, this was after.
Okay.
But even at that point, I didn't know if I was going to survive. I didn't know if Jerry was going to play. Yeah. I didn't know if Jerry had the ace of spades. You know what I mean? And I knew I was playing so much better than everybody else. And I was like, God, if Parcells has any sense, right? He's got to at least keep me around. And these other guys Romo hadn't really done much. And boy, the other ones were just peeing down their leg. Walked in, man. The previous years, I told Turk, I said, look here, man, when my time comes, don't let me walk to the locker room. Don't let me walk to the locker room and sit down and start getting my stuff out and, you know, all that kind of stuff. I said, man, when I walk in the door, you're standing right there.
Just get me.
Yeah, just get me immediately. I don't need to go in the locker. Every guy in there that I need to say my goodbyes to, I got their phone number.
When you see it, how is Turk? Is he nervous or is he?
No, he don't. He's one of those guys that
looks hard.
He looks like have you ever seen that old boy? The one in Dallas back in the day? I don't even know if he's still alive. But he looks like the guy that would. He got a real. You know who he didn't literally look like him, but who I just. Old boy on what was the dude Stephen A. Smith started with on the debate show? A white dude's a big Cowboy fan that ran off Shannon Sharp. Skip. He got
skip,
a.
Skip.
He got
skip.
A. But he's obviously not as put together. Like he ain't trying as hard. He's rough looking. That sucker let me walk to my locker, and then he come across there and has me go. I just left. I went and talked to the dude that gave me the message, and I left the building. Went home. I had a house at the time. Jerry called me back up there. Said, I can't let this happen without talking to you. So we chit-chat for 30, 45 minutes. Made me feel a little bit better, but he still did. He didn't tell me.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, I was hoping he'd say, hi, it was April Fool's, man, that you get the job back.
There
man.
It was.
So it's a rough day. It's a rough day for a lot of folks. But there's one thing with the Texans that I've been wanting, and that rough day today, that rough day hit Andrew Beck, fullback, and Troy Hairston, fullback, who, by the way, had about, literally, I think he had four holding penalties and a couple of whiffs in the last game. So it was, the writing was on the wall for Troy Hairston. But both of those fullbacks get released. Now, we've heard since then that British Brooks, the running back that scored two touchdowns, I think, against the Giants, I believe, late in that game, that he has made the team, which he was my outsider choice of the lower level guys to make this football team. And I think he made the football team as a fullback that can also carry the rock, obviously. But the Andrew Beck and Troy Hairston release puts me in a spot where I feel like I may get one of the things I've been wishing for, and that is more Brevin Jordan. Brevin Jordan, his role in this offense is obviously a backup tight end behind Dalton Schultz, but obviously in the league you use a lot of two tight end sets, so he would be the second tight end. He is a more of a hybrid tight end that would stand up in a two-point stance in the slot or be in the backfield or be your move guy. He's more athletic, more explosive than your typical tight end. So he's got a package in this offense. And I do think he's a very valuable piece. But the only way for me, the only way that Brevin Jordan could become more, the only way that Brevin Jordan could bring more to the table, the only way that Bobby Slowick was going to be able to get Brevin Jordan more touches is if he fills more roles, right? If you've got Brevin Jordan and Andrew Beck on this roster, you've got two guys doing ultimately what I believe Brevin Jordan should be doing by himself. Now that Andrew Beck is gone, he was injured all of training camp anyway, and now that Hairston is gone, you got to believe that Brevin Jordan's role is going to be expanded to some degree, which I think is a brilliant decision if that is indeed how they go, because you get just another explosive weapon in this offense that you have on the sideline. You naturally find a way to get him on the field without having to create Brevin Jordan plays. He's already on the field if you're in 12 personnel, which is one back, two tight ends, two wide receivers, right? He's going to be on the field now in 21 personnel, which is two backs, one tight end, and two wide receivers. The two backs, that's a tailback and a fullback. He could fill one of those fullback roles. And so now you get him in all of your misdirections. You can change personnels without changing people. Like you can go from 12 to 21. You can go from a two tight ends with their hand in the dirt to one tight end with his hand in the dirt, the other one in the slot. to one tight end with his hand in the dirt and the other one in the backfield, like a fullback with his hand in the dirt. You can do all that switching and changing without ever having to sub, which we know in the NFL, if you sub, the referee's going to hold the line of scrimmage so the defense can adjust. You can literally go from one to two to three different personnels with Brevin Jordan on the field. This is the role that I wanted to see if Brevin Jordan could fill all of the shoes, right? Because let's be honest, Brevin Jordan just in that kind of backup tight end hybrid role, I think his time was going to run up. He was going to be a minimum guy. I think his time was going to run up. If you are a guy that now you are a like super utility tight end, like a super hybrid tight end, you're a big time weapon. And hell, that second contract could be a little more, little richer than most tight ends. But not your top tight ends. I'm just talking about then what Brevin Jordan could have been as a backup.
Well, Brevin Jordan clearly brings a skill set that can be explosive, that he can potentially give you chunk play, big plays out of the offense, and be another weapon. But also, as you said, the amount of guys that you have on the team that get on the field ahead of him makes it difficult for him to get on the field. But the number one thing that makes it difficult for Brevin Jordan to get on the field is Brevin Jordan when it comes to having to run block. Whether that is from the tight end position, whether that is from the H-back position or the fullback position. And I like where your thought is of how many different things Bobby Slowick could add to the offense. But it has to be with him being able to be good enough to block. Good enough to stay on the field where teams don't just say, this is a pass.
Yep.
Good enough to where he can stay on the field that, hey, if he is a lead blocker, that he just doesn't get decapitated, right? And just completely blow up a play. So if he can just, what we talk about with Kenyon Green, Kamari Lassiter, just hold his own at the position and be good enough to where you can get him on the field, then you can get him on the field and see the stuff that you want to be able to do with him. But you can't make yourself make it completely obvious what you're going to do and predictable every time you line up because he's out there. And you just can't just crush your run game and give away downs because he can't make the blocks or he can't protect if you need him in front of CJ. So I think that's where it comes from. Can he be good enough at the point of attack to block, whether he's a tight end or a fullback?
Yeah, well, I mean, we'll find out. Like, right, I mean, I want it to happen. I want it to work. I hope that he's capable of doing it. I think that this is Brevin Jordan's biggest opportunity is to be able to do it all and prove that he can do it all and be even more versatile than we thought. Because, look, the problem with the Texans offense is there's not enough footballs to go around. You got too many great players. You got too many weapons. And so the more roles that Brevin Jordan can fill, and let's be honest, of all those weapons, Brevin Jordan's at the bottom of the list. So the more roles that he can play, the better chance he has of impact in every single game. I just think it's what's best for this particular offense. Now, the Texans running back room does consist of British Brooks. British Brooks, a rookie. He did make the football team. He did have a good game against the Giants from a rushing perspective. There's a play against the Rams, though, where I saw it when it happened. Sean and I talked about it in the post-game show. We've talked about it throughout Monday here on Reaction Monday as well. And here we sit Tuesday, the guy makes the team. There's a play in that Rams game where he ultimately chin checks and de-cleats a Ram defender. And then when you see the guy turn sideways, you realize it was a number 93. It was a defensive lineman, interior defensive lineman that he chin checked. And I got to believe that play right there is why British Brooks made this team. Now all of a sudden you can say, whoa, if you can do that, you can fill the fullback role and you can tote the rock if on goal line and short yardage situations. All of a sudden this guy becomes a little bit of a weapon. That may keep Brevin Jordan from doing everything I just discussed because British Brooks is on his football team. And I personally think that's where he plays, Ron. Any concerns about a rookie being in that running back room and being a fullback for this football team?
No, because I don't think they're going to use him like Kyle Juszczyk as they did in San Francisco, where he's a major part of their offense. Clint, It really doesn't matter how old you are or what year you are. Like, they haven't had any fullback that has any level of nastiness or even seems to they've got veterans who miss assignments or don't make contact. So it doesn't really matter how old you are. It doesn't give a damn how old you are.
That's such a good point. I mean, because all the football we've watched the last couple of years, that British Brooks block on that defensive tackle was the most impressive thing we've seen.
Hairston's been here for 2 years, man. He did a snow angel when he caught a touchdown on Saturday.
Yeah.
But he dove into snow.
I kept that celebration.
He dove into snow multiple times just blindly in his years.
Back-to-back games, preseason games.
Yeah, like five penalties in that game.
Yeah, that's rough.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how old you are to me.
Well, we'll get more into that running back room down the later in the show. In fact, Jonathan Alexander's joining us next segment, so you might want to stick around. But, boys, I let something that we've discussed a couple of times, I let something get me again today. Actually, it was yesterday. And it's even gotten worse. The ask for the tip at the point of sale.
It's just the tip?
This has been several years for you.
The tip.
Just the tip.
I mean, I'm talking about boiling. I've become, if they've spent it around their run, I've become a custom tip $1 guy. Be honest with you. At point of sale, before the grease is hot, before they even start to prepare my food, if they spin that damn thing around there, and it's 18, 20, and 22% before they ever even pull a slice of bread off the damn shelf, I hit that custom button and you're getting a buck.
So at least you give them something.
I guess I could probably go nothing. Well, I'm hot.
Do you really want to put it?
I hate that, man. I hate it.
Yeah, that's annoying.
I hate handouts, man. I hate handouts.
Yeah, work for it.
It moved me to a point it moved my emotions. I was mad.
I was
Well, I think
I want to say something to the poor lady. I want to be like, are you comfortable spinning that thing around?
You should.
Yes, I am. We do it to everybody. And it's workforce.
Not only does it work, hell, they expect it. I mean, people get mad if you talk about it. I'm heated.
It's been a very smart move by these retail spots. Spin these restaurants, spin it around, baby.
I need to go zero.
And they'll piss you off, but you know, for me, automatic. Oh, you're right.
You're all right. As tight as you are with money, you're all right just giving away. Especially in the tabs you be paying with the three kids. You're all right just giving away. I mean, 18% is quite a bit, ain't it?
Well, I mean, if it's, you know, usually those are spots where it works. You know, I give it up. Like downstairs, if I'm just getting a Gatorade or something.
Before you get any service, you don't mind tipping?
When they flip it around, if I'm ordering food.
They've done nothing but taking your order, right?
Taking my order. And they're cooking my food.
Yeah, they're going to do that, yeah. Hopefully they do it right.
I hate it just like most people do.
You
like
hit 18%?
18 depends.
I'm a custom guy.
You're a custom guy.
I'm custom.
$1.
And now that you brought it to my attention, I may be zero from now moving forward.
I always use the sense to get to an even number because I'm tad OCD.
Yeah. Oh, it's a smart move.
Just talking about it. It's a smart move by the guy down here on the corner of the street that's asking for change. It's just the handout is just.
Yo, I was trying to give some change to a homeless fellow the other day.
He got mad at you, didn't he?
Yeah, and I controlled myself actually pretty good, and I just put my change back down in my cup, and I drove off.
What was his issue with the change? Was it
he came at me like just right away aggressively, like, man, you ain't got no cash. Like, this is what you have.
He wanted ones that fold.
Yeah. And I was like,
he didn't want them ones that shook. He wanted ones that fold.
He wanted ones that fold, not the ones that,
I mean,
that made a little noise.
I was like, all right, well, you don't need this that bad, I guess. Bye.
Yeah. That's tough. And I've been there, man. Gentleman told me, I don't like ham. I'd rather have turkey.
Oh, you try to get him a ham sandwich?
Oh, I've had that before too with a homeless fellow. He didn't like the food I brought him.
I didn't like it. I took it back and ate it.
You went ahead and finished it, huh?
I wasn't even hungry.
The showman.
Took it back and ate it. All right, coming up, Jonathan Alexander, Houston Chronicle. He covers this team step for step every single day. We'll get his thoughts, see if he was at all surprised by anything on the cutdown day. That's coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
All right, welcome back into The Drive, as it is a lot of news happening with the Texans today. Obviously, today by 3 o'clock they needed to get down to 53, and they've been able to do that. The final roster is out, and the Texans have been able to get there. I know we had somebody on the text line who was wondering, what are the running backs? What are the running backs? Cam Akers, Joe Mixon, Damian Pierce, Dare Ogunbowale, British Brooks. Those are the running backs that made it, and that was a position group I think a lot of people were looking at to see what that would look like, the wide receiver group as well. Nobody better to join us than a guy who is around this team, covers this team, our guy, friend of the show, Jonathan Alexander of the Houston Chronicle. And, J.A., I want to know from you right off the bat, did anything surprise you? Any move surprise you? Any cuts? Any guys that you thought would be on this roster that didn't make it?
I don't know that anything was crazy shocking. I kind of wondered how the Texans would view Noah Brown. You know, he was probably their fourth most talented receiver and had a couple of big games. But I understood the decision. You look at his availability. He missed 7 games last year, missed OTAs because of another injury, missed the playoffs last year too, missed OTAs because of another injury. And then he comes back, plays a little bit, and then gets injured again in training camp. So I understood that, but he was probably like the most talented player who they cut. Other than that, I was a little bit surprised at them releasing their fullbacks. But that just means that they think that Brevin Jordan can play fullback, and not primarily fullback, but he could line up back there if they need him. They won't have a use for it. They use it for other spots on the roster. And I think another surprise was British Brooks, for sure. He was a long shot to make the roster, but he had so much success in the preseason, I think they felt like they had to put him on there.
Yeah, the British Brooks thing is interesting. We just talked about right before you came on. I think when he chin-checked number 93, that defensive lineman for the Rams, I think it just showed there's a level of physicality there that quite frankly, I think this offense is, it's one thing they're missing. And it also came at a time when Harrison, the other fullback who had more experience, was holding the hell out of everybody or whiffing completely, not even blocking the right guy, it looked like. So I think that was, I had him yesterday, Ron and I talked about it. I pegged him as my lower level player kind of surprise keep, and it was 100% solely based on the physical nature in which he chin checked 93.
Well, absolutely. I think there's nothing more coaches love than players doing the extra stuff. And when you can do things like that, I mean, that was a big boy who he chin-checked. And for him to do that, that's ideally what they were looking for those fringe roster players, guys who can do a little bit more than just running the football. Because British Brooks is not going to get much time if he remains on the roster. He's not going to get much time in a game. So what else can you do? Can you play special teams? Can you block if we need to? And he went up and showed out. And I think they rewarded him for that. And that's why he made the roster.
Jonathan Alexander, Houston Chronicle, joins us as we are kind of talking about the big news of the day, the Texans getting down to 53. I think one person talked about a ton, whether he'd make the team or if he'd be on the roster opening day, is Damian Pierce, especially with the emergence of Cam Akers and what's going on there. He has made the 53 as of now. Do you get the sense that this is a play, because a lot of people believe that he's trade bait, they're going to try to trade him. Do you get the sense that he is going to be dressed and on this roster week 1 against the Colts?
Yeah, I think, you listen to everything that D'Amico Ryan says. I've talked to people behind the scenes. They just feel like the sample size – for Damian Pierce to have any type of determination of whether he shouldn't be on the roster was just too small. 8 carries, he only had 9 yards, but they're going to give him more time. He does a lot more than just running the football. Like I mentioned a little bit earlier, he made himself valuable when he played on both sides of special teams, a kick return game and on the kickoffs. And they believe that he has a track record of performing well. Last year, he was dealt with a lot of injuries, wasn't great. You know, they believe that he's a lot better. He's played well in practice. So I believe they'll give him a chance. They'll give him a few games at the very least. He'll definitely be there week one, I believe. Now, things could certainly change if somebody makes the right offer or if he continues to struggle. Then I think you possibly could see them look at a potential trade and maybe make a determination. But I think after those 2 preseason games, they weren't ready to make the determination that Damian Pierce wasn't the right fit on this roster. I think they'll give him some grace.
Follow me with this example. Let's say Joe Mixon gets the first 2 series, and then they want to give him maybe a series off in the 3rd series. Who is the running back week 1?
Hello?
Yeah, is that you got me?
Say it again.
The scenario I'm creating, Joe Mixon gets the first 2 series. They say they want to give him a series off. Who is the running back that gets that series?
I think right now it's Cam Akers. Okay. You know, just the way he played in the preseason, he was consistent. I don't think he had a bad game. I think he proved himself to climb up that ladder and be that number 2. Now, I think it changes, though, if Joe Mixon were to get hurt. I think they would use both Damian and Cam Akers. I don't think they would give Cam Akers solely the role. I think it would be a split between those 2. But I think if it's a 3rd down, then I do think you're looking at Cam Akers because he's a little bit of a quicker back. Joe Mixon is more of a powerful back. They kind of complement each other's strengths, and it gives you a different type of feel when you put a different running back in the game like him.
Yeah, Jonathan, I mean, I'm with you. I think obviously if Damian's on this roster, I think he's going to get touches. And I just wonder at this point in time how long Bobby Slowick can continue to do that. I mean, look, if there is, we get enamored with the pass game last year and what he's done with C.J. Stroud, and that's very fair, justifiable. But at the end of the day, the run game has been suspect, and the inability to generate a consistent run game that is on time, in scheme, in design, that's a problem for Bobby Slowick. So that's got to be addressed. And I just wonder how patient they're going to be with Damian Pierce if things don't seem to turn the corner in the first couple of games. Hey, Big Hynish obviously is injured on the defensive line. You already lost what's my man's name? D-tackle. DeNico Autry. So already slim in the middle there. What do you think that he didn't get cut. He's just on IR. What do you think that does to the interior defensive line? How does that impact the Texans?
Yeah, I think essentially what you'll see is the Texans will probably go look through the waiver wire, look through free agency, and try to target somebody at defensive tackle. You got Tim Settle, who's also dealing with the injury, who should come back pretty soon, but he's dealing with the injury, didn't practice all training camp. They're unsure exactly of what they have in him. I think they like Mario Edwards and Fale Fatukase, and Khalil Davis played pretty well. But I definitely wouldn't be surprised if they were to sign another defensive tackle and try to make that.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Group a little bit deeper. I think even with a healthy Tim Settle and a healthy Kurt Hines, they were still going to target that position because, in my opinion, it's the weakest on the entire group. As far as depth goes and the starters, they had a significant drop off when they lost Sheldon Rankins and Malik Collins. And now they're trying to piece together what they have in the interior. So I think that's the position that they have to target these next 24 hours.
All right, Jonathan, before we get you out of here, curious, the big news here roster-wise, is they're going to have to put Christian Harris on IR. Not really a surprise. He hasn't practiced much, and the one time he did, he wasn't able to finish. And certainly the calf thing is giving him problems. What all are you hearing about that? How long could he be out?
Yeah, I think they hope that he can return after those 4 weeks because, you know, when you're on the short-term IR, you miss a minimum of 4 weeks. But the hope is that he can return. He re-injured that lower leg injury. But they hope that he can come back full health. Him and so they'll have to rely on Jake Hansen, who they thought played really well throughout training camp, and Henry Toto, who they think improved a lot in year two this offseason from where he was as a rookie. So they're putting their faith in some guys who you know, are going to have to step up big time if they want to make up for the talent level that they lose in Christian Harris.
All right, Jonathan Alexander, Houston Chronicle, who covers this team every single day. We appreciate you jumping on with us.
Appreciate y'all having me.
All right, that's Jonathan Alexander. Catch his work at the Houston Chronicle. Coming up, exciting news on Kyle Tucker coming from Joe Espada. We'll let you know the latest on that. And the urgency level needs to pick up with the Astros. We'll continue that coming up on the other side.
Tuck time is coming.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Shout out to Jonathan Alexander for stopping by, letting us know. Jake Hansen. Didn't think about that name. It's Jake Hansen. I guess he'd be the guy if you're getting hit and need somebody to cover. I guess Jake Hansen would probably be the guy in the group, maybe, with some experience. So, yeah, those linebackers, as I said, I still think they may be on the hunt to find a linebacker that would work with this group to bring in. All right, news with the Astros is they have game two tonight, and they look to try to even this series up in Philadelphia. In this World Series rematch, this news that has set Clinton Tyler on fire, baby, and many of you. Kyle Tucker has started to sprint, Joe Espada said.
Yes, indeed. Holy King Tucker sprinting, boys.
Trustworthy Joe Espada with injuries said an important step in his recovery. Espada said he is close to running the bases, but unclear when that will be. All right.
Hell yeah. One step closer, baby. Big fella sprinting.
A big sprinting step closer, baby.
Ooh, yeah. Somebody accused me of being a Rangers fan. That's why.
You don't like those turds in Arlington.
Not quite that bad.
No. For me, it's just, like, the Astros have done it enough for me. It's hard for me to take anything
serious. I
feel
like you should put a dollar in a helmet for that.
Maybe.
You just pulled a Reg.
Yeah. Well, fortunately, that was not a deal for me.
Oh, no, no.
You can contribute.
But like when the Astros say stuff about injury stuff, or, oh, closer. Hey, this is. You know, remember that time when they came out and said, hey, man, he's out here. He looked, hey, really good day, Dana Brown. Really good day, boy. He's looking good.
Well,
looking good, boy. He's out there catching balls in the outfield. And then we watched the actual video of Kyle Tucker running out there catching balls.
Didn't look very good.
Just going to say, they just, like, for me, you can call me a hater or a buzzkill. Someone said I'm always a buzzkill. That's fine. For me, it's I'm not trying to be. It's just the Astros. Whatever they say, oh, yeah, man, guy's close. Guy's feeling good. Man, he's looking good. Oh, it's not that bad. It's good, and he's straight.
I hate to tell you.
I hope he does. I am ready to see Kyle Tucker. I so badly, and I'm going to tell you, you want to know why I'm ready to see Kyle Tucker? And this is an impromptu conversation that just popped to me. I hope that he can get in time, like somewhere in September, because obviously August is shot. This is day 85.
Good God.
June 3rd, guys.
That number is
June 3rd.
Astronomical.
No break.
No pun intended.
No break. I mean, you can look it up, maybe not this long, Like, I'm certain Jerry Rice tore an ACL one year in week one and came back before the regular season ended.
Damn.
An ACL. And this is years ago.
Get your foot placement right.
Prior to the medical advancements that we have now. And, I mean, it's like I want you to look that up, Tyler. I want to see how long it was from Jerry Rice. It's when he was with the 49ers. He tore his ACL, I believe, against the Raiders and came back on a Monday night at the end of the year. I want to know how close the timing of Jerry Rice's torn ACL is to these 85 days that Kyle Tucker is out. But the big thing...
Confirmed.
Yes, he can.
Jerry Rice tore his ACL and his MCL in game one of the season in 1997. He came back to play only the last game of the season in which he scored a touchdown.
So, I mean, we're...
What a freaking goat.
We're looking at September, October...
Well, 16 weeks, so it's 15 weeks between that. 14 weeks between that, so 3.5 months.
We're at three.
Yeah, so three, counting a bye week, three months. So what's that?
It's not ideal.
September 3rd, we're at 3 months.
12, 30, 40, 15 weeks. And Kyle, yeah, Kyle's getting close. He's getting up there.
He tore an MCL and an ACL. Kyle Tucker has a bone bruise.
Tucker had a ball off his shin.
Has a bone bruise.
I'm really not trying to downplay it. I know that crap hurt.
But honestly, I just the Jerry Rice thing just popped in my head. I cannot believe that they're anywhere that close right now as we just done.
Well, this is not good.
That Jerry Rice came back 3.5 months, and we're hoping Tucker comes back before that. Good God Almighty! But anyway, the reason why I'm so excited, I want to see, and I hope he gets some at bats in September. I want to see Kyle Tucker in the playoffs get some redemption from last year's awfulness.
Got to.
And it's a contract year, and it's a money year, and like every bit of what Chaz is going through right now, I believe Kyle Tucker was going through for a clean month last year, if not worse.
I'll see because you in October.
Because of how much people depended on him and where he was. I hope he doesn't have to get himself started in the postseason. I hope he gets some at-bats because I really want to see him atone for last year.
Then you ought to be really excited about him sprinting.
No, I'm not. No, this doesn't have anything with Kyle Tucker. I don't believe them. I won't believe them until we see him on the field.
You found any video evidence yet?
No, I haven't. I'm just saying. I like the Astros, they've lost me. No, yeah, man. Hey. Yeah. He's doing much better. Yeah, man. Oh, damn. Lance out for the year. Luis Garcia, boy, it's good. We're going to get it back. Nah, we're going to shut him down.
Bury me in the H.
Until I saw him in that Space Cowboys uniform, I didn't even believe him on Verlander. I saw him in that uniform. So, hey, I don't want to take your joy, as one former quarterback here used to say. Hope you guys get excited. I'll get excited when we see Kyle get on the field.
He's sprinting, man.
Allegedly.
I bet he's really getting after it too. I bet he's digging.
Like, what do you think his sprint's looking like right now?
Not like a sprint, if I had to guess.
Y'all ain't stealing my joy.
I'm not. I'm just saying. I feel like he's pulling up. Like,
I'm just going to take the word. The man's out there sprinting. I'm not going to overanalyze it.
I'm not going to let it take my joy.
Hope to get him back. Hope to get him back soon. So that's the latest there with Kyle Tucker. If you missed it, he has started to sprint. Joe Espada said, "Next step, run the bases.
Shuttle run.
Next step, turn, run the bases.
Sit and reach.
There you go. Hit them in the upper deck. All right.
Tanks.
Upper tanks. Yeah. Upper tanks. All right. Astros. Big one tonight. They dropped the one yesterday. I think that is, and this is one of the hardest things to admit when you are a hardcore fan, and I'm sure it was hard for you last night, Clint, probably hard for you, Tyler. That was a really great baseball game to watch. The atmosphere felt playoff, but that's sometimes hard to get through when your team loses. But, like, that was a great atmosphere. The Orioles series felt playoff-like. As you got Dubon laying out, doing everything he can to get to a ball. Yesterday felt playoff like, and I just hope the rest of the way the Astros start to match that sense of urgency. The last thing that I want them to do, to see them do, is to let the Mariners back in the door. Right now, the Mariners have made up two games here in about the last week.
And lost one manager.
And lost a manager. Scott Bayer, man.
Sorry, Scott.
Your excitement, man. Scott, too.
How's that couch?
Dan Wilson doing it. How's that couch? Dan Wilson.
Hey, that's an old Astro, isn't it?
Scott played for a lot of teams. He may have had
it's an old Astro, man.
It might be, but so was Jake Odorizzi. Turdish behavior gets you somewhere.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but they made up some ground here. They're 3.5 back right now, and you want to have a good distance September 23rd when that 3-game series happens, and I'm looking at this like, well, you put this thing 5-6 games out, you know, that really changes things because that's the last week of the season, so.
Cream always rises.
If these
to the
guys
top.
Can go, good to see Altuve back in the lineup today. Hopefully he's good with whatever it is that is the issue. But good to see him back in the lineup. If Alvarez can go with the neck or whatever's wrong with them, if Bregman can go, they gotta buckle down and finish this thing out.
Yeah, look, I mean, I think for me, of late, what the Astros have done without Kyle Tucker, big picture. And I'm talking about hunting down the Mariners and getting up to a 5.5 game lead in the division. What they've done in this short stretch of August, let's say all of August, where the schedule gets more difficult. Although they've lost a handful of games, there are games that could have went either way. And when you're planning games that could go either way and you have no Kyle Tucker, you have no Yordan Alvarez for three, you have no Bregman for five, you have no Altuve for two, you're just out of sorts at the plate, you're out of sorts, and you're losing games very, very convincingly, right? I mean, if you could, sometimes, especially when you're beat up like the Astros are and you're missing bats like the Astros are, it's easy to have several games get out of whack because you just don't have your bats, right? But they haven't done that. They hadn't let go of the rope. They're games that could have went either way, the majority of them. And so, as an Astros fan, I feel good about it, man. You get your guys back. You get to 100%. Knock on wood. Hopefully that's soon. And we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Big. As I said, they're in this 14-game stretch where they had, you know, a series against the Red Sox, then the Orioles, now the Phillies, and the Royals coming to town. All of those teams are above 500, and with the exception of the Red Sox, all of those teams are safely into the playoffs right now. They're 3-5 thus far in those first 8 games. But as you said, they've had some significant pieces out. And hell, I think you could probably say in every one of the games, mm-hmm. they've had a significant piece out there. I will say, if they keep getting this pitching that they're getting, yeah, I mean, they're fine. Like, it's crazy, right? We've talked about it. We said it yesterday, man. Ronel Blanco's got to, you know, he's the one you look at, boys. How's he doing? He's got to pick it. I mean, he's still 5 2/3 yesterday. What, 2 runs? Like,
yeah.
Still really, really good. Hector Neris has been a big time addition with this crew. So big pitching performance. They got to kind of clean this thing up and finish this thing out, because the worst thing you want to see is coming up in a week and you look up and Seattle has really made some ground up on you. All right, coming up a little 5 o'clock fire as we continue through here. We'll get you ready for that Astros game coming up, as well as let you know what you need to know. Many of you are just getting off of the major names as the Texans get down to 53, and there's some tough news on Christian Harris. All of that coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.